Blog Talk Radio.
Right now we want you to get your hands together and we're going to start your party. Let's welcome Solar Recording Artists. Solar Recording Artists.
Come on.
Lord have mercy. What's up? What's up, everybody? How are you doing? This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and it is Friday. And what happens on Friday at Solar Records Radio? We all know that we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Man, oh man, I am so glad to be here. I'm so excited. I hope you guys are good. It is the weekend, guys. This is the weekend. All right, so some people have already been out. They already out there doing their thing, enjoying life, as it can be so difficult, right? It can be so difficult, especially with this crazy pandemic that's just starting to come and get crazy on us. So we have to fight for our survival. We have to fight for our survival. So guys, listen, what we have to do, at least make sure that our mindset is in a good place. It's important that our mindset is in a good place. Don't let things distract you and cause your mindset to put you in a place of darkness, put you in a place of sadness, put you in a place of confusion, put you in a place of not knowing what's going on. You know, just you need to have your mindset based on, I know everything's going to be okay. I know we're going to get through this together. I know that God is good and he is real and he is faithful and he loves me and he has mercy and grace. So we're going to be good, right? So let's make sure we get our mindsets right there. We have to participate in it. So if you don't feel good, tell yourself it's okay. I'll be okay. You got to participate. You can't be just sitting by. We can't sit by, you know, just and see what happens, because we are a part of it, you know. So we have to get in it. You know, you can't, like people trying to get a job, you can't just sit there and wait for a job to come knock on your door. Hey, come, hello, I'm here. I want to give you, I want you, you've got to go get the job, right? So it's the same thing in life, period. You got to get involved. And so mentally, that's where it starts. That's where we all are. And I know that this is not a psychology class or anything, but I want us to get our mindset right so that we can enjoy our lives together. We can celebrate music. We can celebrate each other. We can celebrate diversity. We can celebrate, you know, just being you know, here today. And, you know, so come on, guys. That's what this show is about. We want to lift you up. We want you to have a great time. We want you to enjoy the gifts that God has given you, this time together with whoever. If you're by yourself, guess what? You got me. I'm by myself, too. I'm here in the studio. Don Fleming's not here. I'm by myself. So, guys, come on, let's have a good time. We're starting out with the sounds of Los Angeles Records. That's what this show is all about. So I'm just playing you grooves that we did. Now, the funny thing is that I played on 99% of the songs that you're hearing right now. So I was like, wait a minute, I played drums on that song too? And so I was like, wow, this is really fun. This is good. So come on, guys, let's just have fun together on Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. And also, oh, I just want to let you know. Oh, you hear that song? Oh, let's make that move. Oh, man. Uh-oh, then here I am popped in right there from Dynasty. So speaking of Dynasty, I am going to play Dynasty's new single today as well. All right. And guess what? I have some great information for you guys, especially for my friends overseas. Dynasty's single is going to be... How do I word that? Because I just got the information from the promoter, and I'm going to word this right. Let's see. Dynasty single is the single of the week in the UK starting on Monday. Whoa. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. That's what we're talking about, airplay. So it's going to be the single of the week starting on Monday, guys. Listen, we are so blessed, and, you know, I'm so happy for Dynasty, because we were busy. We didn't get to do all the stuff that all the other groups were doing. We were so busy producing everybody else. And so, you know, here we are, you know, older. We're kind of old. We're older now. And so we're putting out some songs, and they're making some noise. So it's like, wait a minute. And so we got people calling us, promoters calling us, that we go back out there and start performing again and enjoying you guys. So please join Dynasty. If you're interested in buying our new single, which there's another song on the other side. So they got our single on YouTube. Thank you, sweetheart. They got our single on YouTube right now, right? But they don't have the B-side. The B-side is on the 45. And so if you want to get the 45, just go to AustinBoogieCrew.com, AustinBoogieCrew.com, and you can order our pre-order our single. It's coming out at December the 31st, New Year's Eve. So you're going to get two songs. You'll get two songs. You'll have the 45. Yahoo! You're talking about throwback. Man, that was yesterday, though, Throwback Thursday. But I'm throwing you back. Because when it's on vinyl, Greg will be able to smell the vinyl, Astrid will be able to have the vinyl. Come on, guys. Y'all got to come in and hang out with us, especially our old school listeners and stuff. You guys, we need your love and support. So go and order it, AustinBoogieCrew.com, okay? Love you guys so much and appreciate you. And what else? Jeffrey Daniels, the guy that taught Michael Jackson how to do the moonwalk, has a new single out as well. We're going to play that. We debuted it last night on Don Fleming's show. So we're going to play Jeffrey's new song as well. And so, and Jeffrey may, you never know who may call in. So we'll see what happens. God is good all the time, guys. So thank you so much for being a part of Solar Records Radio. This is your boy Wardell Potts. Let's get the show on the road. Come on.
Thank you. You move in. That's Dynasty featuring Mr. Leon Silvers. And man, oh man, do we love to hear, a different voice from Dynasty. And so to hear Leon, being featured on that particular song, that really takes me back. I love going back. What's up, Mr. Don Fleming's in the house, everybody.
Hey, what's going on, man? I like that. That's a nice little song right there.
I'm a man in love. Yeah, we know how it is. When we fall, boy, we fall bad. It's crazy.
Don't we? Don't we?
Oh, man.
Leon singing. I love the fact Leon was on lead on that.
Yeah. That was great, man. And he was just doing his thing. He was like, you know what? Because Leon would always put down, just for you guys that like information from the inside, Leon always did like a dummy lead, or if someone else is writing the song and they're writing the lyrics, he'll have them do the dummy lead. But Leon did the dummy lead on this, and was like, hey, I'm going to keep that one. I think, you know, because it's our group anyway. So we're so used to like doing the dummy lead and giving it to the artists that we're producing and have them learn it. And then,
right.
We'll have their lead. But Leon did great. And then before that, I played the Silvers, I'm Taking Over. And so that was fun. That was real. That was a lot of fun recording that album for the Silvers over at Solar. And just really, really hoping for the best. We put our heart into that project, but unfortunately, Solar was going in another direction, and it just kind of lost the steam because Dick decided that he was going to be a distributor. So there was not enough momentum in terms of supporting the record.
Right.
You know, so it kind of had it just was out there without the love and support that it needed to push it. But it was nevertheless, it was still a really good album. If you haven't gotten it, you should go check it out by the Silvers. It's a great album. And and then before that, of course, the song that got it all started, that actually turned Solar into a mega company, was And the Beat Goes On. We started out with that, and it was a blessing for me. First song I ever recorded, and the song that, no, it's not. It was the second song I recorded. Second time around was the first song I recorded. But the first song I ever recorded for the Whispers, I keep getting those first mixed up. I got to stop that.
Right.
And by the way, by the late William Shelby, that song was written by late William Shelby, Steve Shockley, and Leon Silvers. You may not see Leon's names on the credit, but he wrote the song. And our really good friend Gene Dozier, who did the strings and stuff, he came up with that keyboard. He came up with that famous keyboard part. Dun, dun. He came. We were in the studio. Rehearsing, you know, trying to figure out, okay, not in the recording studio, but in our rehearsal hall studio, and we were working on the song, and so Gene Dozier just happened to come by, and so while we were, you know, he was going to have a meeting with Leon, and so he heard the song, and so Leon said, yeah, I want you to work on this one, I want you to do the arrangements for that. He was like, cool, and he went over to the Arp Quadra, where Ricky Freeze plays all the time, and he just and he just listened to it, and all of a sudden he hit those chords. Quack, quack. And it was like, whoa. That just, like, fit so well. It was like, oh, yeah, Leon. Like, play that again. And so,
you know what? That is a memorable song. I mean, even 40-plus years. But let me ask you this. Who did the guitar riff that did the
That's Steve Shockley.
Oh man.
Lakeside in the house. Yeah, that's Steve Shockley. So, you know, he's one of the Throwdown Brothers, and that's how it started. You know, it was the actual musicians on that song: Steve Shockley on guitar, William Shelby on keyboards, Ricky Smith on keyboards, Wardell Potts on drums, Leon Silvers on bass, and I believe, I'm not sure if Kevin Spencer played on that. I think so, because I remember us all going to the studio, and he had to get up just as early as I did on that Sunday morning, and Leon was requesting that we came in the studio. We couldn't even go to church that day, and Mom was not happy. I was at Kevin Spencer's house, and so... Yeah, we went to the studio, and we went to an amazing studio with an amazing producer. It wasn't our normal studio at Studio Masters. It was another studio. And I'll give you all the information because my brain is like all over the place. But Don,
man, it's okay. It's okay. You're doing okay because you're getting old, but you're doing good.
We went to Norman Whitfield's studio. Norman Whitfield, the producer for Motown. And so we went there, and Norman came into the studio while we were recording. He said, "Hey, Leon, I think you got something there. That sounds pretty good." And so, you know, if Norman gives you props, it's like, okay, cool. Thanks, Norm. And so we finished it over at Studio Masters, but that's where we did the track, And the Beat Goes On and Out the Box. Out the Box is another song on the album. And so, yeah.
Man.
There you go.
That's how does it feel? And I'm going to ask this over and over again if I can, because we got new listeners out there, because I always love hearing, you know, your take on it. But, you know, because we talk about the whole bridging the generational gap, a lot of kids that was coming up, the generation behind me, discovered that song through video games. And I guess my question to you is, and I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you got a cent out of it or not, but the fact that the influence on your music incorporating into video games, this is another phenomenon. And I'll just go ahead and say it, because when I played Grand Theft Auto, I was surprised to hear "And the Beat Goes On" that on a video game, and it, to me, I felt it just revolutionized, and it also just bridged the generational gap as far as an up and coming newer generation of people, of kids that basically, you know, kind of want to go down that rabbit hole and say, "Wait, this is a great song. Who is it by? Okay, The Whispers. Okay, I'm going to Google The Whispers," or I guess we didn't have YouTube even back then, but as far as just doing the research, man, I guess my question is to you, how do you feel the fact that, you know, there are new outlets, there are new conduits in attaining, you know, like good music, whether it's a video game, I mean, now it's YouTube, it's Spotify, it's all of these outlets. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think, you know, technology is a gift and a curse? I mean, what is your thoughts on it when you get a chance, when you hear me say, "Hey, this video game has And the Beat Goes On"?
Well, it's first of all and foremost, it's a compliment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody heard it and liked it enough to say this should be on our you know, video game. We got to mm-hmm. figure out a way to get this in there. And so that's the compliment. So that's the music part of it, right? That's the creative mm-hmm. side of it. Now, from a business point of view, the other side of that, so the music business, right? And so
right.
you start thinking, okay, that's great, but, you know, is everybody being compensated that participated, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, as much as everybody wants something to be free, you know, it's really not free. Nothing's really free. Not even friendship, which we think is free, because someone's investing their time into you because they care about you, right? It's
right.
And that they're investing, it's not free, you know. But it's like it's out of love. It's a love thing. So for me, when I see that, you know, I'm excited that someone, first of all, cared enough and believed in the song enough to want it to be a part of what they're doing. But at the same time, we want to make sure that, you know, everything, the logistics is taken care of. And so we
could,
you know, so everybody's compensated. Everybody, not just, you know, certain individuals, you know. And so, but yeah, I think that's a long answer to your question.
Well, I think, you know, when I talk to, you know, JoJo from the Mary Jane Girls, she always put it as, you know, big, as far as music business, small M, big B, you know, in music business. It's a small M, but it's a B, big B, because the B is capitalized. It's about the business of it, you know, and it seems like once the business get attached to it, the music is almost secondary. You know, and that's one of the things what she was telling me as far as, you know, with Rick James and working with, you know, the Temptations and all of these artists, you know, as far as distribution and things like that. And then the fact that her song was so funny, well, not funny, but her song is also on Grand Theft Auto. And, of course, she didn't get compensated, you know. But, you know, that's a, you know, that's another story down the road as far as, you know, we probably got to get her on the show to expound a little bit more on it. But I understand, you know, it is a compliment. I feel like it is a compliment from the get-go, but at the same time, you're just like, wait a minute. This is a multi-million, a billion-dollar industry, and, you know, what, and we're contributing to that through our music. Can we get a little compensation for it? So I totally get it. I totally understand where you're coming from, too.
Yeah, it's really not about, I I'm not going to beg or say, can we get some? I'm saying you have to give. You have to pay.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. But it's just, no, but I understand how you're saying it. You're saying it like sarcastically a little bit, like, hello, can we get, you know, our just due? And that's really what it is. I mean, because, you know, you just can't take someone else's idea and just use it at your own free will. You have to think about, if you're going to take someone else's idea, their gift or whatever it is, you need to make sure you talk to them about it and be respectful to the creator of whatever it is. Like with Greg, for instance, you know, I don't mean to break you up, Greg, but just like with Greg, he is the creator of the artwork of Solar Records Radio. And so before I do anything with his artwork, I ask him, and I say, Greg, I would like to make this, or I like to do that. And I say, you know, and I even say, Greg, I want to put your name on all this. He goes, I don't need that. You don't have to put my name on it. Let's just do it. We just need to just do it. And so, you know, but see that what happens there is that I'm having a conversation with the creator of that particular thing to say, I'm using it for my company. And so, that makes that creator comfortable because we talk about it. So anytime he sees his, you know, like shirts and hats and flyers and cups with his artwork on it, we talked about it. He don't feel, there's no reason for him to feel, you know, like used or frustrated or
guilty.
Why didn't someone respect me enough to, you know, so, and that's how we feel when we hear our songs on these video games or we're in movies or whatever. And if people haven't said anything to us about it, in all fairness, you should just talk to people, right? You got to, it's only fair. And so all we want, and so when she says the small M and the big B, I understand that concept, because what I said is that back in the day, it was all about the music business. But as we gotten older, now it's become more about the business of music. The business comes first, you know, because the music is something we love to do, and it's a passion, and we are crazy about it. But when you're young, you just full of it, and you just want to get it out there. You don't care. You just go, yeah, thank you for liking my music. And then later you go, man, did I just gave that up? I signed that contract. I gave away my publishing. What's wrong with me? So, you know, you learn as you go, you know, and sometimes you want to hold those above you responsible, but it really, you can do that, you know, to a degree, but it's not fair. It's not completely fair. It would be nice for those above you to say, hey, when you get older, you're going to understand this, so I want to make sure you're not angry with me or you're not disappointed in me. I'm going to take care of you from the start, and I'm going to share with you, you know, this is what, you know, I think is the best way to go about it. Then, you know, you can feel good about yourself when you do that for people.
Man, one of the coolest stories you told me was the Kashif situation where, you know, he called you in New York and you were like, you know, what's this about? You know, I guess, you know, your dad had passed and whatnot, and he sent you condolences, and he just randomly gave you a check, and he's like, what you give me that for? But anyway, you know, just the way you tell it is just amazing all in itself. But that's a perfect example of understanding, you know, there is the business of it, and you know, his appreciation of using your music, you know, it's just, you know, just amazing to me.
Right. And so just so people understand, I'll make
yes,
sure.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Please.
So what Don is talking about, referring to, is that there's a story, and I, Kashif, he was hot, right? Back in the day, he was hot. And so his stuff, but he what happened is that he heard And the Beat Goes On and all the stuff that was coming out of Solar. And so he's like, I want that same feel. And so what he did was he had a Sinclair keyboard, which was really expensive, like $25,000, right? And they went all the way up to $90,000, just depends on how much stuff you had inside of it. It was already expensive. Yeah. And so, but he, you know, so only a few producers had that keyboard. And the other keyboard person I know that had it was the keyboard player for Michael Jackson. So it's just, you know, and then there was some sitting in studios, mega studios. And so anyway, because what he did was he took my drum beat off of And the Beat Goes On, and he used it as a foundation for his songs. And Love Come Down and some other songs, you know, Evelyn Champagne King, a lot of her stuff. And so he said that he, and so when I went to his house, as I was going to Philadelphia for my dad's funeral, I went to Kashif first, you know, because I flew into New York and I had some business to do out there. And so then I went to his house. He had an apartment up way too high for me. I'm like, man, I don't know how to do this. I'm afraid of heights, man. I was like, whoa, what the 99th floor or something crazy. I'm like, you gotta be careful. I don't even want to look out your window. So, but a guy that is beautiful, you know, big old black baby grand sitting in there. And so anyway, so, you know, we were talking and stuff. We were just talking and stuff. And he was like, I'm sorry about your dad and all that kind of stuff. And so we just kept talking. And then he finally said, you know, hey, I need to do something for you. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, and he gave me a check. And I was like, well, okay, why you give me a check? And so then I didn't even look at the check. I just saw he gave me a check. I was like, why you give me a check? And he said, just because, man, I have to tell you something. And so he told me the story about how he got the Sinclairia and he would take that, the drum beat, my drum beat and stuff. And he said, I just feel like, you know, this is, I owe this to you. And then I looked at it, it was $5,000. I go, $5,000? Thank you so much. You're paying for my trip. You know, because I brought my whole family with me. And so it was just a beautiful way of someone saying, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you did, what you did for me, you know, in my career and stuff. And so for me, that was a big blessing. And I just was like, thank you so much. So that was integrity. You know, people doing business and integrity seems to kind of not go together, but you got to. It's better to have integrity in business and not be so scandalous. I don't understand that.
Right.
It's sad. And, you know, so anyway, that's the story. Yeah. And
wow.
And she's like, 99th floor? No. It was way up there. See, he lived in New York. And just think about the Empire State Building. You know, those buildings are way too tall. I mean, for me, and I remember going to visit the Empire State Building. And I said, okay, the baby and I will stay down here until y'all come back.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I finally got my courage up one time, and I went up to the top, and I went outside, and it was just, you know what? This is a crazy thing. You take the elevator up in the Empire State Building, and you go up so far, then you have to get off, and then get on another elevator to go up so far. I'm like, Lord, you mean we have to get on another elevator? And you go you're way up there, and then I went outside to look out on the thing. They have like this patio outside. They got the telescopes
right
out there. And I went out there and I looked around. I didn't even need to look at the telescope, use the telescope. I looked around. I was like, okay, that's enough. We're going back down. And I was done. Woo, I don't like that.
Oh,
kind of
wow.
Stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't like it. I don't like heights at all. So anyway, man, we're having a good time talking about traveling. And we just talked about Don when he went out traveling to California, the other coast, walking 8 miles, cuckoo bird. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I know, right? That is crazy.
Crazy. But anyway, guys, we got to keep this music going on Solar Records Radio. If you have any questions, any thoughts you want to share, please feel free. Who is, let me, oh, I'm reading something. Who is that? I think I missed it. What? I don't know. Kashif. We're talking about Kashif. But anyway, so we're going to keep this music going here on Soul Eye Records Radio. Y'all hear Shalimar in the background. That's a song I wrote with Howard Hewitt called You Won't Miss Love Until It's Gone. Is that really true, though?
You won't miss love until it's gone?
Yeah, you won't miss love until it's gone.
Oh, my God. I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. All right. And you know, the funny thing is that I could hear the keyboard my little cheesy keyboard is playing the bass part in this song. It's a Casio keyboard, and I can hear it. Wow, that's crazy. All right, guys, so here we go with one of my favorite songs from Shalimar. This song is called There It Is. We'll be back. I love this song.
Find each other, baby. There it is. There it is. Thank you.
I love that. That's the hot spot. I like that. That's Midnight Star, right?
Yeah, they got the hot spot going, man. It's that group is just crazy, man. They are crazy good. Love those guys, man. Have you ever seen Midnight Star?
I've seen them in concert. Yes, they came here.
They are serious.
They performed here, and no doubt.
No doubt.
They're good at what they do, sir. They're good at what they do. They're good at what they do.
I love you, Don. He's the character Don should be on TV. So anyway, go ahead, Don. What up? You about to say something? I interrupted you.
No, man. I went to see them. This was back in probably maybe around 07, 08. Actually, I saw them twice. The first time they came down that I saw them was for Little Rock Central, the Central High's 50th anniversary. And they performed along with Cameo, Morris Day and the Time, Howard Hewitt. God, who else? A few other artists, man. And then I saw them, I think, a couple of years later with the group Zap. So I really enjoyed it. I mean, Bo did his thing. Melvin did his thing. Belinda was beautiful. So I really enjoyed it.
That's great.
But, man, you know what? But then let's get into something, because one of the cool things about, you know, being on Solar Records Radio is the feedback. And a lot of people, you know, ask questions and they want to know, you know, what's inside Wardell's head or what's going on. Yeah. They want to know what's going on in your head, and they want to be that fly on the wall if you're able to kind of tell them certain stories of certain things that happen, you know. Now, one of the cool things about Solar was the Solar sound you had. Of course, I talk about all the time. We talk about the Minneapolis sound. We talk about the Hush sound. We talk about the Total Experience sound with the Gap Band and all of these things, man. And one of the questions I wanted to ask as far as the – and this was crazy. It's a fan question, but it's also my question too. It's about the Solar sound and the instrumentation and the orchestration. What tracks do you hear, you know, mostly when you listen to, when you hear a song? And I guess this is the question that I want to ask. When you hear the songs, you hear, what is one of the most orchestral songs in your mind, you know, that brings out that the strings and brings out the orchestration? Is there a particular song you have in your opinion?
Okay, just ask that one more time.
Okay, and I'm going to. Doggone it! I'm sorry. I'm doing a couple of things at once. Sorry about that. One quick question.
Oh no, it's okay.
Okay, can you talk about how the orchestration was brought into the Solar sound, the instruments that added? How many were involved in your opinion, and which tracks that you that in your favorite, as far as when you hear the orchestration, which ones you would listen to?
Okay, so as far as...
Lovely question, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. So as far as the first, I'm going to go to the first thing you said. How did it come into... So this is Leon Silvers doing what he does. As the producer, he basically was, you know, got his the songs together, recorded, got the vocals, everything done, and then once he got the vocals done and the music done, he knew exactly, what else needed to be done. So he had hired different arrangers to come in and to, you know, put the string arrangement, horns or whatever, orchestral arrangements around the songs. And I was just telling the story earlier about, Gene Dozier, how he came in and on Animal Goes On and just, you know, just started playing the keyboard parts, and then he did the rest of the string arrangements. But so every time we would, you know, get the song basically done, then Leon would have those arrangers come in, and they would take the song to a whole nother level. Hold on, can I just listen to Richard Randolph for a second? I didn't listen to Richard.
What are you
saying? He's so long. Hold on. Okay, I heard Richard soloing in the background, and it just touched my heart. I had to go with my heart. Go ahead.
I think you pretty much laid it down as far as just to answer that question. I hope you're able to understand. I hope a lot of the listeners were able to kind of get grasp of what he was talking about. But hey, you was loud and clear with me. I have another quick question, man, and I know I don't want to feel like you're pressed for time and asking questions, but here's the question that I want to ask, and it's concerning live shows. And when the tracks were arranged and to be played live versus, you know, just the studio version, what creativity did you add? What on the live version versus just going in the studio doing what you do? What was anything extra? And if there was, what made you what did you do to kind of enhance those live versions of songs?
Okay, that's a fun question because is that another one from the listeners?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you guys for the question. Okay, so listen, this is the thing. This is the fun part, right? So we go in the studio and it's very detail organized and everything has to be as close to perfect in Leon's mind as possible. So whatever Leon sets the goal for in the studio, that's what we all had to deliver that, right? And so we're talking about the earlier part of Solar, because Leon was always the chief and the commander in the studio, and we all were learning from him as to how to become writers and producers. So I just want to keep you guys where our mindset is and where we were. And so as we were learning this stuff, we were always focused on hitting the goal with Leon. Whatever his goal was, we had to hit that goal. And so after that part, right, and the intense moments of just being in the studio and getting the stuff done and always getting the call to come back because you did it, you know, and that may not even been an issue, but you never know. You don't know what the producer is thinking. You don't know what Leon's thinking, right? So you just want to make sure you do your best so you get called back for the next thing. And so we were roommates, so I was like, you know, I really wasn't thinking that way. Like, I was worried about that. But my mind was always, I wanted to make him proud. I always wanted him to be proud because he invested in me as he just bought me out of the blue. This guy from Philadelphia, because of Tony Westcott, rest in peace, Tony, told him about me. And Leon took it on himself to bring me into Dynasty, right, and to be a part of the Throwdown Brothers. And so it was just – so I was like someone that he just kind of like – he didn't get permission. He just said, this is my guy. I'm going to Wardell the drummer, and that's it. And so I always wanted to make sure that I made sure that he was comfortable with his decision to make me his drummer, right? And so so I did my best. So that, with that being said, so that was the intensity in the studio. Then when we went live and on stage to perform, I do this all the time. I do this all the time, still to today. I'll go into rehearsal. I go into rehearsal, and I don't, like, this is a secret that I'm about to tell.
Right.
But I go into rehearsal, and I rehearse the songs. I play it to my very bare minimum best, right, to make sure that we got it, bare minimum best, right? Make sure we got it. Not too much, not too little, just exactly what they need to make sure we have it. And Leon, everybody's happy. Then, once it's time to go hit the stage, I just release my gifts to God. And I said, God, here, this is, you know, do your thing. Do whatever you want me, however you want me to shine. Please bless me and let me have a good time and bless this group and bless the listeners and you know, the audience. And let's just have a great time. And I always have done that. And so when I go on the stage and I play, I let it go. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that I'm not going to do the bare minimum. I always give extra and add extra. And some of those extra things become the normal because it was that extra thing that God gave me. It was so good to, it felt good right to everybody. Because we would, cassette tape, they would record it on cassette for us. You know, this is a long time ago. And they recorded on cassette for us, and then they give us the cassette after the show. And then when we on the bus traveling, we put the cassette in the system and we listen to the show and just to see what we did. And I'm like, really listening. Like, I have no idea what I did. I have no idea because it's all in the spirit. It's all in the spirit. I'm gone. And so listen back. And so that's what the difference is. You bring a whole nother ball game to the show. It's a whole nother thing. So, and nobody want, I mean, if you're going to be just like the record, then why, yeah, I might as well stay home and listen to the record. So people are looking for excitement. They're looking for, you know, to give us the basic of what you did and explode with it. Take it to the next level. And so that's what we, that's what, you know, the difference is what we did in the studio. And I can speak for myself mainly of what I did. And I took it, I always took it to another level, even in church. Even in church, I will practice the regular way, but when service starts, I give it all to God and say, here you go. And I just go for it. I trust him in it.
All right. Well, you kind of brought up a memory. You kind of segued into, I guess, my next question. You talked about, you know, certain things that you've done, but can you talk a little bit about just some of, just remembering going on tour, just certain things that you did to kind of just enhance your, a memorable tour. Let me just ask you, a memorable tour that you went to or you was a part of, where you just went all, you said, I'm gonna go all out on these drums. I'm gonna put fire on the sticks, whatever. I mean, was there something that you did to be like, or was it some of the tight clothes that you used to wear? Well, I mean, what was it? What was the story? What can you share? What a memorable story that you performed live.
Okay, so let me just go back to the tight clothes, guys. I need you all to know that I was a gymnast. So I grew up doing gymnastics. And you know the outfits that they wear in gymnastics? You know, the white long tight pants and the tiny shirts. And you know, we have our grips on, the white grips on our hands so we don't rip our hands on, on any of the apparatus. And so I'm always used to wearing that kind of stuff. And so, and that was in style, by the way. And in the 80s, in the 70s and 80s. So I was good. And so, but anyway, so, and with a big old afro, right? And so, but anyway, so the question, back to the question. Man, that was funny when you mentioned that. And so what was the question, man? I done lost my mind going on.
No, just a good tour memory
There's plenty of good tour memories, but just the Solar Galaxies of Star tour was the best tour I've ever been on because it was with the whole family, right?
Right.
And, so, and there were several Solar Galaxies of Star tours, but this one, the very first one, was absolutely amazing because I got to see the joy that it brought to Mr. Dick Griffey. He would come and be on the side of the stage, and he would just stand there, you know, he had other promoters and different people around him, and he would just stand there and just, you could see him like shining and glowing and being blessed by his creation, because he created all that. He made all that happen, right?
Right.
He found all those people and put them together, and so this is his family now. And so we were all like adopted children. We all belonged to his family, right? So, it was amazing from that point of view. But see, the best part for me is that I played with two bands. I didn't just play with Dynasty. I played with Shalimar too. And so I got to go up there with Dynasty at first and just really have a good time. And Dynasty was so tight because the producer that produced all the other groups that's about to come on was in Dynasty, which was Leon. So we had to be tight. And our stuff was so tight. It was so tight. It was like, whoa. And so the other groups knew how tight we were. And so we enjoyed just getting on that stage and having the opportunity to be a part of the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, because we were so busy, like I said, giving everybody else the songs and producing them. With that poor Dynasty, right. We didn't get that much. We were giving away the goods, man. So I always tell girls, don't give away the milk. The cows don't have to
get the cow for free.
Yeah, if you get the cow for free, you know, it's gonna get. So don't need to buy the cow if you get the milk for free. Anyways, So I would do that with Dynasty and have a great time. Then I would go out and go in the back and just kind of take it in what just happened. And it was tons of people, always tons of people backstage. And hi, so that was good for your ego and just kind of like keeping you up and everything.
Good for your ego.
And you see all your people back there. You got news report. People back there, people asking for autographs and all this kind of crazy. It's just a lot of stuff going on there, right? And so then after that, then I get it's time to prepare to go back on stage again. Well, because I would go out and listen to Lakeside because I fell in love with their performances, which was absolutely amazing. They were really very professional. And so then after they would perform, then I go back inside and by halfway through their show, and I got to tell this part because I'm gonna tell the truth. But it felt good to go out in the audience and sit there and watch Lakeside, and when they would break it down, I was like a student in a classroom, man, watching how they developed, you know, the audience and in anticipation and making them feel like a part of their group, having them doing things with them back and forth and laughing and just having a great time. And I was learning because I was so young. I was like, whoa,
right.
Hey, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. And so I had so much respect for them. And, you know, I see them behind stage, you know, but then when I see them on stage, they're like something totally different. They were just different. They went on stage and it was a whole nother light that came on in each and every one of them. And so I learned that from them. And so then I had the opportunity to go back on stage at the same crowd, right, and play for Shalimar. And so then we go on and it's just a whole nother dynamic because now we're in the middle of the show, you know, and Jeffrey Daniels is doing the backslide all over the place. Jody Watley's
looking
around with these big, beautiful eyes, and all the guys drooling, and Howard Hewitt got the girls going crazy. And so it was just a wonderful dynamic. And also Jermaine Stewart was on the stage with us. He was a background singer. And just getting into that and doing what we did, it was so much fun. I just posted my throwback picture yesterday when I was getting ready to go on stage with Shalimar. We just sitting in there and talking and going through stuff. And it was a wonderful opportunity. It was a wonderful time. So for me, studio is one thing. Stage is like that's it. You know, it's the same as if you've been practicing something for a long time and then now you get it to go out and do it. That's all.
It's the energy. I think it's just the live, the energy that you get, the vibe you get when it's live versus that you're just going in studio. I guess in studio it's kind of more military. It's for the album. The song is to put in the album, blah, blah, blah.
Well said.
But when you're out there, performing live, you know, it's just a certain energy that you give to the people that you get from the people, so you give back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my opinion, you know. I just felt it was a little bit more uniform it was a little bit more military, you know, to kind of just go in the studio and just do a track for a song on the album versus just getting out there performing those songs live.
Absolutely. I mean, it, like you said, see, it's that the energy comes from the people. And so you have all of these people out there that are excited about what you are about to do, what you are supposed to do. And so their energy takes your energy up to another level. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, so it takes you someplace. So it's a two-way street. It's like we are blessing each other in this, that you guys coming and having and just waiting for us to get up there and do our thing, and we get up there and do our thing because you guys are there. If you guys weren't there, we just go pack up and go back home. So it's a beautiful thing, man. I enjoy it so much. So there you go. I think I saw another question somewhere. Where did I see it? There was a question about I saw something. Okay, that's it. I can't find the question I saw. Oh, yeah, that's the one you just asked me. Okay, yeah. About the live show sticking in. Okay. Was the discipline that Leon bought at times overwhelming? Well, you know, okay. So overwhelming. Can really, the word overwhelming can really be a bad word.
A loaded word to me.
Yeah, it's a loaded word.
There's so many layers to that. But go ahead.
Right. But so with that it's a good question. And so with that question, I mean, overwhelming. So for some people, it was overwhelming, and I'm not going to say their names, because I could see it in them, and I could see them sweating, and they were really overwhelmed. But for me, it wasn't overwhelming at all, except for the very first day that I went in the studio and recorded. Not the first day, the second time. Oh, was it the first day? I can't remember. But I think it was a little overwhelming for me, because for my audition, when I did the audition, I didn't even know it was an audition. I did the audition.
Right.
And he just said, do this, do that, do that. And I did all the things. And he said, okay, we can roll. But he never said, you made the audition. It took him I had to ask him, so what's going on? You haven't never said made the audition. I got, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, of course you did. Yeah, that's it. Well, thanks for telling me. Like three weeks later, Leon. So anyway, so yeah. I think did I answer the question?
You did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. Anyway.
But take a break. You take a break. You pooped out. Let's get to some music, and then we'll come back, and hopefully you'll be a little bit more energized, because I know you look like you ran out of gas trying to remember all that stuff, old man.
But I have to say that I'm excited. This is really a blessing.
Appreciate the questions. Appreciate the questions.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. I love it. I love, you know, they know I love it. I truly do. And it's a blessing because it's another energy, just like going on the stage and performing. This is the same thing for me, to have to reminisce and, you know, go back and say, oh, yeah. And when you go back to that moment, it's the same adrenaline starts to run because you remember how good it was and how much fun it was. And that's because of all of the fans that will show up and just say, come on, let's do this together. I got to tell you guys one last thing. One of my favorite shows that we did was in Amsterdam. And I got to tell you why, because we had this little short tour, right? We just went overseas to do something in a couple of places. And the other couple, I'm not going to say what the places were because I don't want to put any country down. But we went and we did a couple of gigs, and it was like kind of weird. It was crazy. Like, whoa. I didn't understand. It wasn't normal. It just felt weird. It wasn't the normal kind of thing. And then our equipment got stolen on top of it. So I never see my drums again. They were gone. After we left LAX, That was the end of my drums. That was it. Never seen him again. And so that gig, that first gig was just really weird. And, you know, we did like, I think it was, yeah. So we did two nights there and it was really weird. And then we left there and we went to London and we performed in London and it was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I'm going to come back to that in a second because they're cars. The cars are like, look like limousines. These big giant look like, I don't know what these cars are. Their taxis are. I was like, I like the taxis over here. And so it was just amazing. But then we got on the boat, a shuttle, and we went over to Amsterdam. I guess there's like a boat. You get on a little shuttle and we drove our vehicle on it and our vehicle had lamps in it. So everybody's seat had lamps. It's just kind of funny. But we got there, and these people, they were partying so hard. It was, we got kind of, because we were thinking, you know, the red light district was going to be the best thing. Don't forget, we were really young. Really young. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we were thinking the red light district was going to be the best thing to happen. But the actual gig was absolutely amazing because the people, it's so important for the musicians that the people are, you know, supportive and they love you and they show their love. And they were really showing their love. And it was really classy. It was clean. It was good. And it was just, I remember how much fun it was. I remember being by myself too. I was like, where is everybody? I was in my hotel room. Like, normally we hang out. Where is everybody? I remember that moment. And so, but it just ended up being, it was a beautiful gig. And I always remember that in my heart. But London also, that gig was amazing because, and this wasn't with the Solar Galaxy of Stars tours. This was just a little thing that we did on the side. And it was just, I remember the ceilings were too high. I was like, look how high that ceiling is. Gee, we were in some kind of arena. I think it was like a club, but it was the biggest club I ever seen in my life. It was huge. The stage was huge, and everybody was there. The dance floor was gigantic, and we had just a great time. And I just felt like, wow, this is, I could live here. This is good. I just really enjoyed it. But I was overwhelmed with the taxis. I could not. I was like, oh, I want to get in the taxi. I want a taxi ride. I want to take the taxi everywhere because that car, there's a big old car. So I was like, wow, that's crazy. So anyway, we can get back to the music if you're ready to get back to the music.
Oh, man. Yeah, you are pooped, man.
Yes, I am. My adrenaline is running, but we have more questions coming in. So we only got 23 minutes left in the show, but we thank you guys so much. And I do want to play a Dynasty song, too, so I'll play that when you come back, because I have another song already set up. I got to let you hear the new Dynasty song. And did I tell you guys that did I tell you, Don?
Tell us what, Mordell?
I didn't tell you? Oh, wait, let me make sure I say it right. Let me see. We just got the single of the week.
In the UK.
Yes. Starting on Monday, this Monday, I got the information from the radio station that they made it the single of the week. And so, woo, 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 woo. Yes, guys. And the DJ name is Gary Spence. Gary Spence. So for my friends over in the UK, you know, check out Gary Spence. All right. And anyway, so here we go. Let's get the music going again.
Tell me your web to the FBI.
I'm hearing, I don't know what I hear. Sounds like, I don't know what that is. But anyway, guys.
Cracking noise.
I heard something. I was like, what is that noise? Anyway, I want to thank
Man,
you guys again.
I love that last song.
Oh, thank you.
I love that last song. Of course, you wrote and produced it, right?
No, I wrote it. I didn't produce it. Leon produced it on his family. That was a project that he really took to heart. And that, once again, is another song off of that album. What's the name of the album again?
Bizarre. Bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah, Falling for Your Love by the Silvers, man. And with Pat on lead.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a great song. So listen, we only have 9 minutes left in the show, so I'm not going to be able to really end the show the way I wanted to. So I just need to squeeze some things in real quickly. Don't forget, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be Till I Wants to Dance. And our topic tomorrow is autism. We're dealing with children with autism and how to, how to handle that and how to be a blessing
right.
to those children. You guys tune in tomorrow for that, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, I want to give a shout out. Let me see here. I know. We're talking about my brother Wayne up in Dallas there. What's up, Mr. Wayne in Dallas?
Dallas, Texas.
Much love to you, man. You're about 4 hours away from me. I decided to come to Texas. Lord, oh, what a big difference it is being here as opposed to California. Mm-hmm. And I was in California for 40 years, but originally from Philadelphia. So, thanks, Wayne, for tuning in and being a part of Solar Records Radio and our group. We appreciate you, my brother. And Astrid is the one that she's always on top of those kind of things, making sure that we make sure that we show love to our listeners and people that are, part of our group. So once again, thanks, and we appreciate you, man. Do you have anything else, any questions that you want to, or the listeners have that, before we get going here?
Yeah, quick note. So I want to know this. Can you recall a track when you recorded where Leon was never happy and you were thinking, what else can we do? I mean, have you ever had those moments and you're like, it doesn't matter what we do, it's just Leon just said it's not right. Can you recall a moment?
Just give me a second.
See, you're doing it. Oh, man.
Because I want to be real. I want to grab the right
one.
And, yeah. It got easier, right? It got easier after we knew exactly what he wanted. It got easier mm-hmm. for us. So, we just went back in and it was easy. But in the beginning, mm-hmm. I remember a second time around, the very first song we did, none of us really knew where the goalpost was. Like
right.
Leon, it was just in Leon's head, right? And so we were just going out there and doing what we did. So for the first 3 or 4 hours, we kept recording the same second time around over and over and over and over. And then we thought he got it. We thought he was satisfied. And he said, okay, we're going to take a lunch break. We're going to go. Like, Lord have mercy. Like, are you kidding me? Okay, so then that was the point. That's where that word comes in, overwhelmed by,
right.
Not really understanding. And so that may have been the closest to where I got to that feeling of feeling overwhelmed. But so we went to lunch and the guys started separating and doing, doing other things, and they were grouping up and getting together and stuff. And I was like, I'm not going nowhere. I stayed right in the studio, right where my drums were. And I remember just sitting in there and going, you got to get your part right. You got to get your part right. You know, see, this is the thing. I had no idea what pocket was. I just heard about it, but I didn't discover it yet. And Leon would say, pocket, pocket, pocket. You guys make sure you got your pocket. And so he was a drill sergeant in there. And we were all, you know, okay. And we were all trying to do our parts, you know. And we were, you know, and but he was, I was the backbone of the groove. So I had to be, it was a lot of pressure on me to at least get the first part done, get those drums done, Wardell. So that was the song probably where, you know, we felt that pressure, and no matter what, it was just like, we just can't satisfy him. But it was hard. It was difficult. And finally we came back in and everybody took a breath, you know, and we went right at it. And so it took about two more takes. And then he's like, I got the drums. That's it. And I was like, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was so happy. Hey, man, I was ready to go home, but I was ready to go home, but I had to stay there for all of the cleanups. And then we did another song, and that was Out the Box. I mean, no, I'm sorry. I'm mixing it up with Enemy Goes On. Nope, it was not Enemy Goes On. Wardell was not Enemy Goes On. It was Second Time Around for Shalimar. So, yeah, so then I had to ride home, and that was a long ride home. Man, oh, man, it was cold outside, and we got in Kevin's white van, Kevin Spencer's white van, and we all went home. And so, anyway, so that's the story, and I thank you guys again so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio and being a blessing to us. And, man, oh, man, I got to get Jeffrey Daniels on here. We are missing each other. We're playing phone tag, and we've been going back and forth. And I told you I really wanted to do something today. I wanted to play a song for you guys, but because I wanted to answer your questions too. So, but we'll do that another time. I've already been playing Dynasty's new song for you, so you heard it and you know it anyway, right? But we appreciate you here, Don Fleming. Much love to you, and thank you so much for, you know, just being the brother that you are. I appreciate you very much.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you too.
Is there anything you want to say in closing?
No, again, the usual, but seriously, every time I say it, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, man. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, for supporting the show, wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world. Keep that love, keep the support going, and we really appreciate it, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right. Good night. God bless. Thanks, Astrid. Thanks, Greg. Love you guys. See y'all.
All right.
It's my imagination.